Hi, gang. It's your pal, Steve Charney. And the name of the program is Knock on Wood. As if you didn't know, Michael Cooney is my guest today. Michael Cooney always has a wonderful song for us. I used to listen to him when I was in high school. He must have been pretty young himself back then. So it was a real treat to get him on the program. We also have Eric Nagler. Harry's going to be in. Something from a group called the Congress of Wonders. And we're going to start off with Ramblin' Man. This is Steve Martin when he did stand-up. Those of you youngsters don't realize it. Steve Martin started out as a stand-up comic, right? And then only later did he become a movie star. He did pretty good for himself, too.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the boarding house is proud to present that master of comedy, a warm welcome, please, for Steve Martin.
Thank you. Well.
Hey, this guy is good. I'm a rambling guy.
Well, I'm rambling, rambling round. I'm a rambling guy. Ramble out to the different Times Square in a car, get a hotel. Oh yes, 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 oh yes. Oh no, a rambling guy. Hey, R-A-M-B-L-I-N apostrophe, oh rambling. Okay, everybody, come on, sing with me. Rambling guy. What's the matter, you people uptight or something? Okay, ladies only, he's a rambling guy, oh lord. Okay, now I'm in. Okay, this half of the room. Okay, now this half. Beautiful. There's two-fifths of the room. Now there's three-fifths. Okay, two-sevenths, five-sevenths. Okay. In Chinese now. Mongol, Mongol, Mongol. Well, I'm rambling, 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 rambling,
This is Knock on Wood. And here in the studio is Michael Cooney. Michael, so nice to have you on the show again.
Thank you.
Michael has been around for many years. I mean, as a performer. I don't mean...
Yes, hey, I've been around for many years, honey.
Yes. Well, you sound like... You start sounding like that even when you're 22 when you live up in Maine, I think.
Suppose.
Mainers kind of get this kind of weary... Yeah. Weary thing. I think dealing with all those harsh winters. You have such harsh winters up there, don't you?
Oh, I don't know. Right on the coast where I am, it's the weather report always says 10 degrees warmer near the coast.
Yeah, and that you find that it's, well, I guess you won't really know.
Except in the summer when they say 10 degrees cooler.
Ooh, that's nice, yeah. You probably get a real influx of people up there during the summer.
Yeah,
I love that area. As I've told you, my step brothers and sisters live up in there,
mm-hmm.
and we go visit once in a while. That's right. You live right by Monhegan Island.
Yes,
yeah,
that's true.
Lovely, lovely island, too. Been there.
I was going over to Monhegan Island on the boat not too long ago. I went over to play a Lewiden party, actually,
mm-hmm.
and there was a bunch of New York people going over on the same boat, and don't you know, one of them fell overboard. And the captain turned around and saw what happened and said, "Throw that guy a line," and one of them other New Yorkers said, "Knock, knock."
Yes,
yeah.
That's a real Maine joke. You're here actually not to talk really about Maine, but to give us a bit of culture.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I thought I would bring culture to the
culture, right.
to the show by singing a song about a famous play. This song actually is made up by, as I understand it, a high school teacher in Glasgow, Scotland, who couldn't get his students interested in Shakespeare. So he made up a song to tell the story of Hamlet in 3 minutes. There was this king nodding in his garden all alone when his brother in his ear poured a little bit of henbane, stole his brother's crown and his money and his widow, but the dead king walked and got his son and said, "Now listen, kiddo, I've been killed and it's your duty to take revenge on Claudius. Kill him quick and clean, then tell the nation what a fraud he is." The kid says, "Right, I'll do it, but I'll have to play it crafty so that no one will suspect me. I'll kid on that I'm a dafty." So for all except Horatio, and he counts him as a friend, Hamlet, that's the kid. He kids on, he's round the bend, and because he's not yet willing for obligatory killing, he tries to make his uncle think he's tuppence off the shilling. Takes a rise out of Polonius, treats poor Ophelia vile. He tells Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Denmark's bloody bile. Then a troop of traveling actors like 784 arrive to do a special one-night gig in Elsinore. Hamlet, Hamlet, acting barmy. Hamlet, Hamlet, loves his mommy. Hamlet, Hamlet, hesitating. He wonders if the ghost's a fake, and that is why he's waiting. So Hamlet wrote a scene for the players to enact, so Horatio and him could watch to see if Claudius cracked. The play was called The Mousetrap, not the one that's running now, and sure enough, the king walked out before the scene was through. So Hamlet's got the proof, his uncle gave his dad the dose, the only trouble being now that Claudius knows he knows. So while Hamlet tells his mother her new husband's not a fit man, Uncle Claude takes out a contract with the English king as hitman. So when Hamlet killed Polonius, the concealed corpus delicti was the king's excuse to send him for an English hemp and necktie with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern to make quite sure he'd got there. But Hamlet jumped the boat and put the fingers straight on that pair, and when Laertes heard his dad's killed in the bedroom of the heiress, he came running back to Elsinore, toot sweet hot foot from Paris, and Ophelia with her dad killed by the man she was to marry. After saying it with flowers, she committed Harry Carey. Hamlet, Hamlet, no messin'. Hamlet, Hamlet, learned his lesson. Hamlet, Hamlet, Yorick's crust convinced him all men, good or bad, at last must come to dust. Then Laertes lost his cool. He was demanding retributions, and the king says, "Keep your head and I'll supply you with solutions." So he arranged a sword fight for the interested parties, with a blunted sword for Hamlet and a sharp sword for Laertes. And to make double sure the old belt and braces line, he fixed up a poison sword tip and a poison cup of wine. The poison sword got Hamlet, but Laertes went and fluffed it, because he got stabbed himself and he confessed before he snuffed it. Then Hamlet's mummy drank the wine, and as her face turned blue, Hamlet said, "I think this king's a baddie through and through. Well, incestuous, murderous, damned Dane," he said to be precise. Then made up for hesitating once by killing Claudius twice, because he stabbed him with his knife, then forced the wine between his lips, and then he said, "The rest is silence." And he cashed in all his chips. They fired a volley over him that shook the topmost rafter, and then fort and brass knee-deep in Danes lived happy ever after. Hamlet, Hamlet, end of story. Hamlet, Hamlet, very gory. Hamlet, Hamlet, I'm on my way. And if you thought that was confusing, you should read the bloody play.
Beautifully done. That's fun. Thanks. That is fun.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Does it make you want to run out and go read the play? I don't know.
Gee.
Yeah.
It makes it a whole lot easier to understand the play when you go
it's
to
true.
It.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, nice, concise.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fun. Nice rhymes, too.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Cooney here on Knock on Wood, just telling us the story of Hamlet in 3 minutes. I like it. Well done. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
Howdy, folks. This is Radio Phil. In a moment, my program. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Brought to you by Degenerate Mill.
Friends, have you tried cornflakes lately, folks? They're cornier than ever. And for a surprise, mix them with molasses for a real cornball dessert.
Big job cotton swabs give your ears sex appeal no matter where you use them.
I love you.
What?
I love you.
What?
Here, use this. No, your ear. Allow me.
Oh, wow.
Now, I love you.
And I love you too, you itty bitty Scooby Doo.
Oh, baby boo boo.
You Scooby Bobba Fooba, Rubba Dibby Noo Boo.
Yes, big job cotton swabs give your ears sex appeal, no matter where you use them.
Pig beer. Drink big. Think big. Feel big. Drink pig. Get tanked. Put a pig in your tank. Gross out with pig beer.
Tasteless garbage, tasteless garbage, tasteless garbage.
Hungry?
Well,
How about a nice big lukewarm bowl full of tasteless garbage?
Huh?
Look good?
Yeah, well.
Go ahead and try some. Taste good?
Tasteless garbage!
You eat it every day.
Folks, I'm Bob Crud, originator of the famous Tower Stores. Look for a Tower of Crud store in your area soon. Also, listen for our new radio show, The Tower of Crud Tower Hour. Come down soon, friends. And remember, with each purchase, you get a free...
Can you help me?
Flower Power Tower Hour towel. In fact, you might even win a whole set of Flower Power Tower Hour towels for your convenience. If you find a Flower Power Tower Hour towel for your on your receipt. Folks, this is Bob Crud of Tower of Crud Stores reminding you, don't forget.
Hi, I'm Buster Krabs. I live in your shoe. That's my dog. For him in there, too.
Meow.
Do your own thing, dog.
Brought to you by Degenerate Mills.
Makers of Sweeties, Breakfast of Simians. Square little O's of sugar-coated roughage give you the energy to muddle through no matter how bleak the week. Hi, folks, this is Giggling Gordo at the Giddy City used car lot at the corner of Jekyll and Hyde. I got a beautiful repossessed 69 Chrysalis, only $101.35. You take up the payments. We got a beautiful little Swedish Ford, $14.92, a history-making offer. We got a flashy little Italian Ravioli, $5,000. Over here, we got a 1955 Giblato with leopard skin upholstery in good condition except for spots, $0.98. A plywood Fury with dual carbs and brand new Gladiator, $1.98 a pound. A Sandlack Eldorado Pervertible with matching removable hard fob, $29.98.5. And a pink furred muskox that used to belong to that famous ecclesiast Cherry Herring in the third place at halftime in the second heat. And remember, folks, this is Giggling Gordo, sitting pretty in Giddy City, saying that everything we got here is $11 down. That's $11 down. And if you haven't got the $11, we'll loan you the $11.
Damn it all.
Uptight? Just go to your druggist and say...
Damn it all.
He'll know what to do. For a modern relaxative, try Damitol Blue for a blue haze, Damitol Red for a warm glow, and Damitol Yellows for a golden nothing at all.
Are you embarrassed because when you Charleston, it looks like you're going upstairs? Wear Granny Bifco's corrective knees. They make you look straight.
Bifco knees, please.
Smoke Ghoul cigarettes with the new silicosis filter. Thousands of tiny silicosis flavor traps. Smoke Ghoul cigarettes. Also try Ghoul queen size with the soft rubber.
This has been a paid political announcement.
In the valley of the obscene, green ogre.
Stick it. Pick those peas.
If you pick it, it'll never heal.
I'll stomp you runt.
Try all the wonderful products that obscene green ogre puts out.
Cream corn, kumquats, wax beans with okra. And now I'm going to take care of those picket lines.
A bomb calling.
My goodness, Radio Phil, Congress of Wonders. They were around many years ago. I doubt very much that they're still together. But it's an old record. Well, there's Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Michael Cooney has left. Harry's here, though.
Right, see, look what I got.
Mm-hmm. A pencil? So?
Yeah, look what I got on the end of it.
An eraser? So?
Not just any eraser, Steve. This eraser erases anything.
Anything?
Sure, give me a finger.
What?
Watch. Hey, my finger! You just erased it! That's right.
Now I only have four fingers!
You brought it on yourself, Johnny! I warned you!
But who would have thought you could actually do it?
You know so little about this show.
Now what am I going to do? I can't go around the rest of my life with only four fingers on this hand!
Well, I can erase another one for you. Stop it. Now do something. All right. I'll draw it back in your hand.
Okay. Wow, you're drawing a new finger where my old one used to be. But it won't be a real finger. It'll just be a drawing of one.
Yeah, but it's better than nothing.
Look at this. This is the worst finger I've ever seen. Boy, are you a lousy drawer. It's all bent.
Fingers are supposed to bend.
Not that way.
I'm sorry. It's the best I can do under the circumstances.
Keeps poking my other finger when I try to move it.
C'est la vie.
What does celery have to do with it?
You want me to draw you a stalk of celery?
It would look better than his finger. There's not even any knuckle.
Yeah, I'll give you a knuckle. Hold still. I said hold still. Now, look what you just did. You got two knuckles on this finger and no knuckles on this one. Here, I'll erase the knuckle I just drew.
Watch it, watch it, watch it. Oh, great, man. Now you erased most of this other finger. Now I've got two fingers missing.
Here, I'll draw back the second finger. Stay still. Here we go. Sketch it in.
Looks more like a toe.
What else should I erase? Oh, I can erase the volume dial on the sound panel. Here, Steve. Here, watch.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, great. Great. Now we can't turn the volume down when we put on a recording. You erase the dial.
No sweat. I'll draw it back. There we go.
Button's not even round now.
Well, it's hard to draw a circle freehand. Let me draw a little flower on it.
Yeah, great. Now you got a flower growing out of the volume control. I don't like this.
And I'll draw a little bumblebee in the flower. There are the wings. Give him a little stripe.
Give me that pencil.
Hey, watch it, watch it. You're disturbing the bee.
Ouch, ouch. Oh, he just stung me. Oh, that hurts right on my nose.
Yes, Steve, I'll erase the sting bite so it won't hurt.
Thank you. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, what did you do? My nose. What happened to my nose?
Sorry.
What am I going to do without a nose now?
At least you won't have to blow it from now on.
I want my nose back.
Okay, I'll draw you another nose. Take your hand away.
All right.
There we go. Da-da-da. Sketch that in. There, how's that?
Give me a mirror. Oh, great. You drew a carrot.
It becomes you.
I want a nose, just like the one you erased.
Okay, I'll erase the carrot. Here, hold still. All right, and I'll draw in a nose.
Da-da-da. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're doing something. My nose isn't that long. Let's see the mirror. Let's see. Oh, I've got an elephant's nose. It's hanging down way too far.
Well, now you can smell your feet without bending down.
Something I always wanted to do. Now, come on. I want to end this routine, so how do I get my fingers and nose back, not to mention the volume control?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Come on, give me back my real fingers.
I didn't think that far ahead.
So what you're saying is you don't know how this sketch resolves itself.
Hey, you're the writer. You think of something.
I can't.
Well, then you'll have to live with the consequences of your actions.
You know, that's the cool thing about Knock on Wood. I don't have to live with the consequences of my actions. I can do anything I want, and I won't have to pay the price.
Why's that?
Because this is all fantasy. It's just made up.
Ooh, that's cool. So then the skit sort of resolves itself automatically at the end.
That's right. See, look. Fingers are back, and so is my nose.
That's a very cool trick. And here's a flower for your lapel.
I've got a flash for you kids who think adults are lucky. Own their own cars and everything's just ducky.
Don't go to bed until they want to.
If that's what you think, I've got a flash for you. It's better than that. Take Saturday and multiply it. It's better than that. We get a chocolate eclair about as big as your head. Way before noon, before we get out of bed.
You do the things we're not allowed to do.
And then we do things you haven't thought of to. Hold on to your hat. Hold on to your bologna sandwich.
Take 50 grand to Disneyland.
It's better than that. And if you think that our days are extra warm and sunny,
a pile of toys, a pocket full of money, nothing to fear because you're big and tall.
We don't go to school because we know it all.
Nagler doing a Peter and Lou Berryman song. I have a copy of Peter and Lou Berryman doing that, but that's a real nice version, Eric's version. That's a CD called I Can't Shit Down. Yeah, that's distributed on MCA. I like Eric a lot. I think you know that because we play so much of him. Okay, it is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. I was telling Harry earlier that we don't have to live with the consequences of our actions on this program.
Right. On this show, karma does not exist.
You know, usually if you rob a bank, you get caught and go to jail. But not on this show. No way. I can do anything I want, and I don't have to reap the reactions.
Anything?
Sure. Watch. Normally, if you smash a valuable CD player, you have to suffer the loss of it, or if it's someone else's, you have to pay them back. But watch. See the CD player, Harry?
Yeah.
Look, man. I'm smashing it to smithereens. It's just a pile of garbage now. But voila...
Nothing. No consequences at all. Wait a second. You just smashed a $300 CD player. Don't you have to pay the station back?
Nope.
Why?
Because this is Knock on Wood, and anyone can do anything on Knock on Wood without repercussions.
Because you didn't really break the CD player, right? It was just a sound effect of you doing it.
Now you're getting it. That's why earlier you could erase my finger, and by the end of the skit, there it was back again. I didn't need an explanation of how it got back.
So I could pinch your nose, bang your head with a hammer, and set your necktie on fire, and I wouldn't have to face the music.
That's right. Especially you. You even more than me.
How come?
Well, at least I exist. You're not even real. So not only is what you do a fantasy, but there isn't even anyone there to do it. At least with me, there's a body that has to fake it.
Wow, heavy stuff. So I could jump out the window, fall from 3 flights up, and I won't suffer any damage.
That's right.
Let me try it.
Go ahead, be my guest.
Okay, here we go. Get a running start. Bonzai!
There he goes, right out the window. Down 3 flights to the street below. Hey,
how do you feel?
I got $1 million!
Come on back here!
I'll be right up!
See, that's the great thing about radio. The possibilities are endless. There's no shame. There's no crime. It's a little insulated world that no one can touch. It's really cool.
Wow, that was great, Steve. I don't feel a thing, so I could really do or say anything, and there will be no negative reverberations.
That's right.
Great. There's something I always wanted to do. I always wanted to call you something over the airwaves, and now I'm going to do it, because there are no consequences to my actions.
Go ahead.
You know what you are? You're a dirty, rotten son of a...
Hey, watch your language.
But you said I could say anything.
You want to get us fired?
I was just going to call you a son of a gun.
Fee-fee-fi-fi-fo-fo-fum. I smell smoke in the auditorium. Charlie Brown. He's a clown. That Charlie Brown is gonna get caught. Just you wait and see. Why is everybody always picking on me? That's him on his knees, I know that's him. Yelling 7, come 11 down in the boys' gym. Charlie Brown, he's the clown. That Charlie Brown. He's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see. Why is everybody always picking on me? Who's always writing on the wall? Who's always goofing in the hall? Who's always heading for a ball?
Guess who?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you!
Who walks in the classroom? And slow. Who calls the English teacher daddy-o? Charlie Brown, he's a clown. That Charlie Brown, he's gonna get caught. Just you wait and see. Why is everybody always picking on me? That crazy trombone.
Saxophone.
Oh, whoa, it's crazy all the same. Boy, I've got the message. Man, the joint is really jumping. Go, man, go.
in the classroom, cool and slow. Who calls the English teacher daddy-o? Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown, he's a clown, that Charlie Brown. He's gonna get old, just you wait and see. Why is everybody always picking on me? Here he goes again. Here, he's a nutcase.
Oh,